Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. No doubt about it, winter's been reluctant to loosen its grip on us this year. But the buzz over the late winter polar vortex has given way to concern about what some are calling a late spring pollen vortex, a perfect storm of irritants from grass, tree, and other plant pollens that could lead to a shorter, more intense allergy season.
Here to explain why 2014 may be a bad year for allergy sufferers is Dr. Linda Cox, an allergist and immunologist from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Dr. Cox is president of the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. Welcome back to Take Care, Dr. Cox. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thank you, Lorraine and Linda, for inviting me back.
What is it about a long and severe winter that sets us up for an extreme allergy season, as they're saying we're going to have?
Well, the first class of allergens to pollinate are the trees. And for trees to pollinate, there needs to be what's called a warm-up phase that's long enough for the trees to put out their leaves and thus pollen. This year, we've had an unusually long and cold winter, thus it's a delay in the trees pollinating. So you're getting a later start on the allergy season. You have early pollinating trees and late pollinating trees. So now there are more different types of trees pollinating at the same time. And then you're going to get some overlap with the other classes of allergens. The second class to come out is the grass pollen, which typically starts in May. So you're going to have more classes of pollen out all at the same time. For individuals that are only allergic to a single tree, this may not be a problem. But if you have more than one type of allergy and they're all in the air at the same time, you're going to get a more symptomatic because you're having a higher load of allergen exposure.
So you're saying because it didn't happen more gradually and it's all happening in a concentrated time, that's just going to make it worse for those suffering from allergies.
Right. What normally happens is you have your winter stops, it warms up, and then you have your early trees that pollinate. And then you have your late tree that pollinate. This year, because we had such a long winter, you're now getting pretty much all the trees pollinating at the same time. So if you happen to have allergies to early and late trees, you're having them all at the same time. And they'll probably still be around when the grass pollen season starts. So if you're grass and tree allergic, you're going to have an increased amount of exposure.
So does a more intense start mean a longer allergy season or possibly as short as always, just getting started with a bang?
It will seem longer to the person experiencing it, but it will be the same duration.
So if we're suffering from it, and I'll say this, there were a couple of days recently where I thought, oh, they're pollinating because I had a runny nose, I had congestion, and it came upon us all of a sudden. And in the midst of this, I'm thinking, do I really have to start the medication? What else can we do to reduce the damage, let's call it? What can we ourselves do to prevent this intense exposure?
Well, I really hate to say this because it goes against what we try to do with chronic diseases like asthma, which is get people to lead as normal life as possible. But avoidance is always the best strategy with allergies. So if people are very sensitive to pollen and it's pollen season, we actually recommend them to stay indoors as much as possible. Keep your windows closed in the car and at home. And if you were to ask me the best time of day to go outside for exercise or walking, probably it would be early morning. The different classes of allergen kind of peak at different times of the day, ragweed being early morning, but it comes out as a clump. And then as the air dries out more, it becomes more airborne later in the day. And the same with trees. There's different times of the day. But the safest time of day, if one were to push me, I would say early morning.
So I'd be in good shape to go out on a foggy day. There's moisture in the air, and therefore pollen's not going to spread as easily.
Maybe.
She's not making any promises.
No.
No.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And our guest today is Dr. Linda Cox, an allergist and immunologist in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we're talking about a very severe allergy season. One of the recommendations I've read is that for those who suffer from certain allergies, taking a shower at night and getting the pollen out of your hair and even out of your dog or cat's hair if they go outdoors can make a difference. Now, is this really significant enough? As you were saying, you hate to tell people to stay indoors, but if you're a real allergy sufferer, would taking a shower at night and really cleaning off your pet make a big enough difference to change your lifestyle that way?
You know, to be honest with you, I think this is primarily anecdotal. I've not seen good controlled studies that have said this is an approach that will make a significant difference in somebody's symptoms. It makes a certain amount of sense, and I've heard this in lectures, but I'm not sure that we have strong evidence to make that recommendation. Unfortunately, actually, with a lot of our environmental control interventions like HEPA filters, vacuum cleaning with special vacuum cleaners, there's not a lot of good, solid, controlled science to support it. There are some studies, but it's a difficult thing to study. Some of them have shown that a very comprehensive approach to environmental controls does lead to improvement over time, but the time period is rather long, and we're really mostly addressing the indoor allergens like cockroach and dust mite.
I appreciate your saying that. Let's talk about some of the things that are tried and true and proven by science in the time that we have remaining. What are your recommendations for people that aren't a patient at an allergy office but are just finding themselves experiencing these symptoms? Give us a couple of tips on, let's say, going to the pharmacy and getting over-the-counter medications or nasal rinses or sprays.
We'll start with saline rinses, which is irrigating your nose with salt water solution. There are a whole number of products that are available over the counter, and you can even make your own solution, but I would advise making sure the water is sterile. So there's over-the-counter nasal saline solutions, and there is evidence in trials that the addition of saline rinses does add to treatment effects. So there is some proven evidence that saline rinses have some effect on nasal symptoms. And then you have antihistamines. You have quite a few antihistamines available over the counter. You have older products like Benadryl that will potentially make one sleepy, and then you have a lot of newer products. I'll list some brand names, Zyrtec, Claritin, Allegra, and they all have generics that are now available over the counter. Antihistamines work best for runny nose, itchy eyes, sneezing, but they tend not to be as effective for nasal congestion. They also potentially could make allergy eye symptoms worse in that they have a drying effect, oral antihistamines. And now, recently, a nasal steroid went over the counter, and that's Nasacort. Nasal steroids need to be used on a regular basis to work. They're not an as-needed pick it up one day and drop it the next, but at least using it consistently for a week to start to see the benefits. And it is probably the most effective single agent for congestion. And it will also address some of the other nasal allergy symptoms, such as itchiness and sneezing after it's been in use for some time. So you have a nice spectrum of medications currently available over the counter.
Dr. Linda Cox is an allergist and immunologist from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and president of the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. For more on this year's allergy season and Dr. Linda Cox, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.